But we want to make this much more complex than God intended it. And we do that in part because of this thing called the complexity bias. Humans have been like this ever since Eve. And I'll show you that today. But the studies show there's three reasons we like things complex. Number one, we equate complexity with intelligence or knowledge. And we want to be more intelligent and more knowledge. Or maybe we equate it with expertise. I missed what 12 times 8 was last night at the hayride. Bob was there to correct me. I'm like, you know, and you sit there and you think, I can't do simple multiplication anymore. I've been a lawyer too long. Anyway, the second reason we believe is that the more complex solution is more appropriate because it shows a deeper understanding of the problem. You know, you can write the list either way, but it shows a deeper understanding of the problem if you have a more complex solution for how to deal with it. And then the third reason, and I think this one appeals to us, is that when we find a complex solution, we look more impressive to other people. You know, when we get a problem solved that's complex, it helps us look good, doesn't it? It makes us feel good about ourselves versus taking the simple approach and resolving it. My son gets on me all the time because I like a simple life. I like it in the movies when the good guys win. I like it in the movies that have a happy ending. I never watched another Tom Hanks movie after Forrest Gump. Just isn't going to happen. You know, Jenny should have lived. That was it. That did it for me. But the point is, do we want a simple life or do we want a complex life? And when it comes to scriptural belief, when it comes to believing in God, He wants us to have and lead a simple life. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is leading a simple life in today's complex times. So if you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read verses 2 through 4. So stand if you can. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. And as you're standing, this is the fourth letter that Paul has written to the Corinthians. He's been getting on them. He wrote them a really severe letter, he calls it. And they were getting away from the simplicity of the gospel. And there was really something that was troubling Paul. And he says, beginning in verse 2, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Be seated. Paul is worried about these people that they have gotten away from the simplicity of the gospel. Is the gospel simple? Yes, it is. It is very simple. And we need to always make sure that we do not overcomplicate it, because the way we overcomplicate it usually puts more of a burden on people. And God said, look, my yoke is light. My burden is light. I want you to live my way. And what Paul is talking about when he says simplicity in verse 3, that word means singleness of mind and heart. So we are looking for a simplicity that reflects a singleness of our mind and a singleness of our heart. And that single object should be to serve and worship Jesus Christ, to glorify Jesus Christ. But over time, and frankly back in Paul's time even, the gospel had become complicated. People were making it complicated. They were trying to put rules. They were trying to bring the law back into it. You have to follow the law. You have to do all these things that were Jewish. You have to do all these things, and you have to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, that's not what the Bible says that we need to do to be saved, right? All we need to do is confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, and we shall be saved. There's nothing else about following rules. There's nothing else about all this complexity that we bring to it. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, and I want you to really focus on this verse. Paul is writing to a different church. He was writing to Corinth. Now he's writing to the church at Colossae. And the church at Colossae has got a similar problem to what was going on in Corinth. So chapter 2, verse 8, and Paul just lays it out here. And I want you to listen to this because this is what's going on in our world today. And it encompasses all of those concepts: simplicity, deception, and confusion and corruption. Listen to what it says. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Let me read that again. Pick up on these words, underline them. Don't let anybody cheat you. So how could they cheat us? Here's how they're going to cheat us. They're going to take us away from the simpleness of Christ, and they're going to cheat us through philosophy and empty deceit that is based on the tradition of men and the principles of the world. All these traditions, all these things that Paul talks about that we, quote, have to do in order to add to our salvation, to keep our salvation, God says, and Paul says, no, those are wrong. Paul called the people that taught this a really nice term. He called them dogs. And you know what he did to dogs? He tried to scatter them and get rid of them. And he's not talking about the nice little puppy like we saw last night. He's talking about wild dogs. That's what they had at that time. So these people come in like wild dogs, and they simply want to devour by putting all these kind of rules and regulations and traditions and philosophies. You can go to a college campus today and you can take a philosophy course in all kinds of stuff. You can read Nietzsche, you can read Freud, you can read all these kinds of things. And you know what they don't substitute for? They don't substitute for the simpleness of the gospel. And that's what was happening back in Paul's day at Colossae. These great philosophers were coming in and they were expounding, and boy, they were making logical sense because we like complex things. You want something complex? Read Kafka every once in a while. Don't do it, but it's complex. You know, read some of these philosophers and then read the Bible. The Bible is clear. It is pointed. It is directed at giving us direction. Remember, God wants us to understand His Word. He doesn't hide it from us. He gives it to us. He reveals it so that we know more about Jesus Christ. So it's simple. It's easy to understand. It's not complex. And my question to you is, do you want to live that simple kind of Christian life? You should. That's the kind of Christian life God wants you to live. So how is that shown in our lives? Well, what does God say about this? You flip to the Bible, you answer the question, end of story. What does God say I should pray about this? Then you go pray it. What does God say about this kind of behavior? Should I engage in this? No. Okay, end of story. That's pretty simple. That's something even I can follow, right? So what we want to do is we want to see how God has been simple. And I just want to go, before we get more into verses, I want to give you some things that He made simple for us. Jesus lived a simple life, first of all, didn't He? I mean, think about that fancy hospital He was born in. Think about that pretty bassinet that somebody had ordered off Amazon that He was laid into. No. He was laid in a manger in a little burrowed-out cave that was used for donkeys. He grew up with the life of a carpenter. He didn't have a place to lay his head, but you know what? He lived a simple life. And He was given to us as an example of that simple life. So Christ is a simple life. The Bible gives us a simple story of salvation. What's the gospel message? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried. He arose again according to the Scriptures and was seen. That's the message that Paul preached to the Corinthians that changed murderers into Christians, that changed every one of those people that he listed. You know, you guys used to be like this, you used to do some of these sinful activities, but now, through that simple message, you've been saved. That is the message that changes lives. Simple message. God established a simple church. You know, He said, you follow me, and His word says, I will add to the church. You don't even need to worry about numbers. I'll take care of adding to the church. He gave us simple worship. He said there's two requirements for worship. Anybody remember what they are? Worship in spirit and in truth. We can stand up, we can kneel down, we can raise our hands, we cannot raise our hands. We can sing, we can murmur, we can do all kinds of things. But it, as long as it is in spirit and in truth, that is what real worship is. And God gave us a simple book. You know, pick up the Bible. It is a simple book. You say, well, gosh, there's parts of it that are hard to understand. You know what? If you read the entire thing, you will actually find out that's not too true. All that stuff that seems hard to understand is usually explained somewhere else in the gospel. Or even if you get to the book of Revelation, it's all explained back in the Old Testament. So you know what all those symbols are. Again, He gave us a simple book because He wants us to live that simple life. But Paul says back in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, look, there are enemies of the simple life. He says there's two things. Number one, there's deception and there's corruption. And he says back in verse 2, he says, I'm jealous for you. That means he's concerned about us. He's concerned about this church from a godly perspective. And he's worried that they're going to be deceived and corrupted. And he doesn't want that to happen to them. He wants them to keep focused on that simple message that he delivered, that Jesus Christ delivered, and not get taken off track. He already knew that the Corinthians were prone to go off track. Remember, Corinth was Sin City back then, so they were into idol worship. They were into all kinds of things. And when they had an opportunity to veer off, they typically went that way. And Paul's written them letter after letter going, come back, you know, let me rope you back onto that straight and narrow path. He says, do not be deceived. And Paul knew, God told him that there was going to come a time when deception was going to be rampant. Jesus told us that too. He said, you know, beware of false teachers. That they will give you doctrines that are so attractive to you as a person, so humanly attractive, that even if it were possible, they could deceive the elect. But it's not possible if you follow the Bible. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he says, look, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you other than what's been preached, we should be accursed. Any other preacher, any other angel from heaven bringing a new gospel. That sound familiar? If you know comparative religions, that is exactly what has happened in at least one Mormonism. The angel Moroni comes down with a new message. We don't need a new message. We need the old message, and we need to follow that old, simple message. And he talks about what happened to Eve, and you think about Eve. You know, we give Eve a hard time, don't we? You know, she gave in, she was tempted. But understand this, Eve wanted God's best. That's what Satan appealed to. He made her doubt that she was getting God's best. That's where her problem was. She should have had confidence and faith that God was giving her the best. But Satan said, did God really say this? That when you eat of that tree, you're going to die? Well, yeah, he said that and something else. Oh, I tell you, that's not true. And then here's what he did. He threw in the lie. He threw in the deception. He threw in the thing that brought corruption. I tell you that in the day you eat of this, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So Eve's like, wow, I want to be like God. You see how Satan did that? He didn't tell her the truth about what was going to happen when she ate that, because God had already told her that. He gave her the lie that she wanted. That's what he does with us. We have to be very, very careful that we aren't deceived. And Paul wrote, don't be deceived. And the way we don't be deceived is by following this simple life. following this simple plan, evaluating everything in the context of whether it makes sense in the light of the simplistic message of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you how single-hearted Paul was. Let me just read you some verses. Take these down if you want to. Philippians 1:21. This was Paul's life philosophy. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's not complicated, is it? Very clear. Where's his heart? Where's his mind? Everything is Christ-directed. Or what I got about Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So everything I'm going to do is going to be Christ-related. It's going to be Christ-directed. If it doesn't glorify God, we should question, why am I doing this? God said that He created us to bring Him glory. Not to have a comfortable life, you know, but for us to bring Him glory. So when we do things, when we do works, when we do all kinds of things, we should be asking ourselves, how is this glorifying God? And am I doing this to glorify God? So how do we do that? I want to give you two simple rules this morning, two simple suggestions for how to simplify our lives. The first one is that we have to simplify our minds. We have to simplify our minds. We have to take things and get all that clutter out. I don't know about you guys. Do you all have a lot of stuff in your brain? Do you have a lot of stuff swirling around all the time? Do y'all forget things like you didn't used to forget things? I got a couple of people shaking their head. No, I mean, that's pretty good. I have to have, you know, whoever invented these, thank you very much. Great Christmas gifts, by the way. Post-it notes are everywhere. I had to put a post-it note on to remember to bring the hot dogs this morning and remember to bring the cookies because I'd walked out of the house without the cookies. It was a post-it note, not an alert on my phone, mind you, but the point is that our minds are cluttered. We have to get simple. Turn over, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and we're going to talk about the things that you should think of in a simple kind of life, the things that should be in your mind for a simple kind of life. Philippians 4, 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So listen to what's not in there. The news. All the bad stuff that's going on in the world today, all the injustices that you think you've suffered, any anger that you have against people, any issues that you have with your fellow man, taxes, we could go on and on. You see the list of things that's not in there? Here's the short list of things that are in there. Pure, true, noble, just, lovely. See that? Just sit there and think for a minute. If I thought all day on things that were just, things that were pure, things that were of good report, things that were holy, things that were true, things that were lovely, how would my day be different? I guarantee you it'd be different. That would be very, very hard in our world to be like that. But God says, this is the way I want you to be. I want you to think like this. And if you are a child of God, you have the capability to do that. If you're not a child of God yet, you do not have the capability to do that. You do not yet have the mind of Christ. When you become a child of God, you are a new creation. You have been given the mind of Christ, and you have the ability for the first time to really think on those things. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to get distracted. That doesn't mean that bad thoughts are going to come into our head. It doesn't mean we shouldn't watch the news, But what do? We think on the things that are pure. We think on the things that are holy, that are just, that are right. And we glorify God in everything. We look to see what God's doing in our lives. We look to see why things are happening to us that we may perceive are bad right now. God, what do you want me to get out of this? We look at that simple-minded solution. You know, simple-mindedness is not an insult. Simple-mindedness is a godly characteristic. So be simple-minded. And the second thing that we do, we got to simplify our choices. You know, we got lots of choices. We've got a lot of choices of what we're going to do this afternoon. Y'all may be, hopefully not, but you may be sitting there going, what are we going to do for lunch? You got tons of choices. When we talk about spiritual things, when we talk about life choices, those choices that we make should be God-directed and God-honoring. And that, a lot of times, will simplify the choice. You know, we've got a choice between two things. Which one honors God more? If they both honor God, which one's going to honor God more? There's always an answer that can be answered by applying that test to whatever situation you're in. How are you going to spend your time? Well, this is good, this is good. Which one honors Him more? Or, this one's kind of easy. That's bad. This is good. You know, that's even more simple. But Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, if you're still in Philippians, go over to chapter 3, verse 13. He said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, to attained, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. What's the goal? The call, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, everything I do, I forget what's in the past, all his failures. You think Paul had some failures? Oh, yeah. Paul had failures. We have failures? Yes, we do. He says, I forget that stuff, that baggage. I'm going to forget that, and I'm going to reach forward for the prize, the upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus. I've got a single-minded purpose. Every choice I make is going to be designed to get that goal, to reach that goal, to make that goal come true in my life. So you want to simplify your life, simplify your mind, and simplify your choices. And it is really that simple. So I want to close. You know, when it comes to decision time, what do? I'm going to give you four letters. Y'all ever heard the phrase KISS, K-I-S-S? Now, don't get offended because I'm going to tell you what it means to me. Most people think it means keep it simple, stupid. But here's what it means to me, and this is directed to you, okay? It means keep it simple, saints. That's what you guys are, okay? Anyone who is a child of God is a saint. So my message to you this morning as we close is keep it simple, saints. Simplify your minds. Simplify your choices. Do not make complicated that which God made easy. You know, that was the wrong way to say it. Do not make complicated that which God made simple. The hardest thing God did was to put His Son on that tree, to nail those nails into His hands and feet, to watch Him and to abandon Him because He became sin. But He became sin for you and me so that we do not have to hang on that tree or any other tree. So if we're going to start implementing the KISS principle today, keep it simple, saints, first thing is, are you a saint? A saint is someone who has put their faith in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of their lives. It does not mean you are perfect. It does not mean you will never sin again. It means that you are a child of God. He has saved you, and He will keep you. That's it. Simple solution. Christ died for my sins according to the Scripture and was buried. He arose again just like He and all the Old Testament prophets said He would, and He was seen. We've got indisputable proof. So the simple principle is, are you living the way that He wants you to live? If you're a child of God and you're not, cut out the excess. Cut out the junk. Cut out the clutter. Cut out the baggage. Go back to a simple approach to thinking, a simple approach to life. And remember, you're going to be battling that complexity virus, that complexity bias. It is a virus. You're going to be battling the thoughts that you want to be more complex. It can't be this simple. Yes, it can. You want a simple explanation for how we got here? Five words. In the beginning, God created. There you go. Is there support for that? Oh, yes. More support than there is for anything else in the world. You want a simple solution for how you're going to heaven? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. These things I've written to you, John wrote later, so that you may know perfectly and completely that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe. So if you've not ever made a decision to accept Jesus Christ into your life, that is the simplest and the best choice you will ever make. If you've made it and your mind is cluttered, pray to the Lord and say, Lord, get all this stuff out of my brain. Then you start thinking on all those things that are pure or just. You think about how good God is. In this month of Thanksgiving, we need to be blessing Him continually for everything that we have. Think about all that and your life focus will change. You simplify your mind, you simplify your choice, you will be able to live the simple life and to keep it simple. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You this morning. We thank You for the simplicity that You gave us. We thank You for the simple solution of Jesus Christ. Lord, You knew that we have a tendency to mess things up the more complicated they get. And Father, You gave us one simple, one clear path to salvation, one that anybody and everybody could follow. Lord, You gave us an instruction book for how to do it. Father, I thank You so much for that. I thank You that You've opened our eyes, that You've opened our hearts to hear about the simple truth of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for sending Him. We thank You that He was willing to come and to die for us on that cross, Lord. And we thank You so much that He didn't stay dead, that He's alive and He's living and He's mediating for us, making intercession for us each and every day. Father, we just glorify Him. We thank You again for His life. Father, we pray that You work in the hearts of anyone here to show them any response that needs to be made. And Father God, just help us to be able to take this simple message out into the world, outside these walls, and to share it with others. Lord, You have Your way during this time of invitation. This we pray in Your Son's name. Amen.